Congress is on recess this week, and the state's representatives are back home to meet with constituents and weigh in on next week's elections. Representative Ron Kind, a Democrat from La Crosse, discussed his top priorities today at a luncheon in Madison.
He joined us in our studios this morning for a look at the issues facing Congress and western Wisconsin in particular. Ron Kind is a U.S. representative for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which includes La Crosse and Eau Claire. Congressman Kind, welcome to Central Time.
That's my pleasure.
So, first of all, this talk in Madison, what are you focusing on today?
You know, I'm having a lot of discussions, a lot of meetings here in Madison, but it's about the direction our state needs to go and our nation overall. Obviously, this hasn't been democracy's finest hour, this presidential campaign, the rhetoric that we're hearing out there. I always thought presidential campaigns should be more aspirational, more what we can do together, what will it take to start uniting the state and the country again. We're not getting a whole lot of that, especially on the Republican side. And I think the people are wrestling with issues that they want to hear some answers to.
And what kind of issues are you hearing your constituents in the 3rd Congressional District bring up? What do they want to talk to you about?
Well, there's still growing concern about whether we're hitting our full potential economically with the type of good-paying jobs that we need back home here. They're worried about the affordability of higher education and student debt issues. I have 6 of the 11 state universities that I represent in my congressional districts, more undergrads in my congressional district than even here in Madison. So, you know, maintaining the accessibility, the affordability of higher ed is important to me and families throughout the state, and we need more focus on that. But, you know, I'd love to live in a state, too, that's making it easier for people to vote rather than erecting hurdles and passing voter suppression bills. I mean, for crying out loud, last primary election, we had a 92-year-old World War II vet, a survivor of Iwo Jima, that was denied his voting rights because he brought his Veterans Administration identification card with him and it didn't meet the quote-unquote definition. Is that really where we're going as a state today?
And the primary election, of course, just around the corner. Wisconsin, everybody knows, a big player unusually this year. Do you think we are at play? We're a swing state in the general election come November?
Well, first, for the primary, I think it's kind of nice having the eyes of the nation on us. And hopefully this is an opportunity for some of those candidates to hit the reset button and start talking about serious issues and the challenges that we share as Americans rather than a discussion about wives and hands and every other nonsense things that we've been hearing out there. But, yeah, you know, traditionally Wisconsin's been a purple state. We usually have been a competitive battleground going into general elections. That may be true this year as well. So even though people think they just have to survive April 5th around here, we might have to wait until November before we get back to normal again.
You've been writing about campaign finance lately, opinion pieces and legislation, too.
Yeah.
What kind of reforms, what kind of changes are you hoping to see?
And I think some of the problems that ail our political system, both at home and at the national level right now, is structural. It's fundamental. It's, you know, redistricting. It's putting it in the hands of nonpartisan commissions to draw the political map and not allowing the politicians to choose their voters. I think that's leading to the intense polarization we have in the political system. And there's too much dark money, you know, these super PACs, these unaccounted for money grabs trying to influence the outcome of elections has to be changed. A good place to start is requiring complete transparency so that we know where the money is coming from, and then the people in Wisconsin can be the final referee in all this. But with the Citizens United case, there's just so much dark money that's going to lead to very bad results unless it gets fixed.
You've written a Campaign Transparency Act that I understand requires the candidates' campaigns themselves to disclose all donations. That
yeah.
doesn't touch the dark money, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's unfortunately a Supreme Court decision, Citizens United, that established that right of so-called corporations to act as people and to spend unlimited amounts of sums and not disclose where it's coming from. You know, in the past, the Supreme Court said that we have the ability to regulate money in political campaigns to avoid corruption or even the appearance of corruption, but that was thrown out with the Citizens United case. It, again, is another example of why this open Supreme Court vacancy seat is so important and why the United States Senate needs to do their constitutional obligation and do their job this year, meet with the nominee, have hearings, and ultimately have a vote on them.
Talking to Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind about issues in the news and in Congress. Just saw a report, switching gears a little bit here, on broadband speed in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The state as a whole, not looking too bad, except rural areas, and this is something you've been focusing on. What's the state of broadband in rural Wisconsin?
Well, you know, we've slipped a little bit as far as our national rankings, but we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to be doing this as a nation. You know, this is the information revolution that's taking place on a global scale. We can't afford to leave any community or any person behind when it comes to access to high-speed broadband connectivity. And it's especially challenging in the rural areas, that so-called last mile, where the build-out is more expensive than that. So we've been working with the commissioner of the FCC, Tom Wheeler, in order to free up some grant money that could go into investing in a lot of rural communities throughout Wisconsin and our country, so there aren't any dark spots, any black spots that might occur. Let's face it, you know, we know, Rob, that if kids don't have access to high-speed internet connection, they're not going to be staying there. And it's one of the reasons we've got a brain drain taking place in Wisconsin. We need a statewide plan on how to close that gap and make sure we're leading the nation and not falling behind.
Apart from those FCC grants, are there things you can do legislatively that would help expand broadband access in rural America, not just Wisconsin?
You know, the one thing that shouldn't be done is blocking communities' choice of what type of broadband they want to build out, whether it's fiber optics. But I know there's been legislation pending here in Madison that would exclude that option, prohibit that option from taking place with local community leaders. And I think that would be unfortunate. But this, again, is consistent with the trend that we've seen in the state of taking away local decision-making power and resting it in the legislature or the governor's mansion here in Madison. And that, too, is going to take us to a bad place and ultimately lead to a lot of bad results.
Another story in your district, the ongoing scandal at the Tomah VA Medical Center, congressional hearings about that, changes of personnel there. Have things improved there? If for patients who actually go to the VA in Tomah, are they getting better care?
You know, I'm impressed with the improvement that has, the reforms that have been made there at Tomah. But I knew from the beginning that, you know, the whole issue of pain management at the Tomah VA was not just unique to that center in Tomah, but it's a challenge we face throughout the entire healthcare system. And that's why I'm glad that the President Obama has made this a point of emphasis, the opiate issue and pain management and what we can do to best address that on a national scale, partnering with states and localities in our healthcare system, because this is also leading to increased meth and heroin use and that addiction epidemic that's sweeping Wisconsin right now. And as a former special prosecutor, this cannot be addressed on a criminal justice basis. This has to be a public health issue that we take this on. Early identification, early treatment, or we're going to be locking more people up, throwing the key away, and it just perpetuates the cycle of addiction. But Tomah is consistently ranked in the top 10% when it comes to metrics and quality measurements. But there were serious allegations that needed to be investigated, needed to be looked into, and then changes had to happen at Tomah, and I'm glad that it looks like they've turned the corner and are starting to head in the right direction.
On that opioid issue, this is something we've talked about a lot, including with Republican Assembly member John Nygren. Is this an issue you think can get a lot of bipartisan cooperation?
I think so. The president certainly is leaning heavily into it, too. There's pending bipartisan legislation in Congress right now. I know I've worked closely with Senator Tammy Baldwin on this issue as well. It's a little wonder, because a lot of this is being driven by what's happening in our own local communities. And I've been having listening sessions around the state with law enforcement, healthcare, treatment centers, families that are impacted by addiction issues, too, to make sure that the federal legislation at least is heading in the right direction, that the partnership and support that needs to come home here in order to address this addiction and use is based on good research and good science and best evidence medicine, ultimately.
As we wrap up, of course, we've got elections in the short horizon, more coming up in November. Race for governor in 2 years.
Yeah.
And your name often gets thrown out there when Democrats are looking for a candidate. Any thought that you might consider that over the next 2 years?
Well, you never say never to something like that, and it's a little bit early and premature, but you know, I am disturbed, as a lot of people are, about the direction we're going as a state. You know, these whole voter suppression issues, the dismantling of the government watchdog entities that are supposed to be nonpartisan referees, keeping an eye on our public officials, that has been eliminated now. The lack of support for higher education and the reputation we're developing as a state right now. But right now, what's pending is this presidential primary season. And listen, I'm supportive of Secretary Clinton. I don't think there's anyone who's more experienced, more qualified, more ready to assume the responsibilities or the burdens of the highest office in the entire world, let alone our country, than Secretary Clinton right now. And her agenda to expand and strengthen the middle class is, I think, the direction we ought to go in. And her expertise when it comes to the security challenges we face, both the broad abroad and here at home is unsurpassed by any other candidate in this race. It's not even a close call from my perspective.
We'll leave it there for now. Congressman Kind, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That was Ron Kind, U.S. Representative for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which includes La Crosse and Eau Claire. He joined us in our studios earlier today.